Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's guest host Ryan Pinder.
Man, we have been waiting for this series for some time. Tonight, it all gets going. The Orioles and the Blue Jays. Yeah, it's the first place of the AL East, Baltimore Orioles, who were so red hot out of the gate, but were supposed to cool off. And while at times this year, yeah, they've looked certainly human, that pitching staff sure is. They still mash the ball, and they are still in first place in the AL East after 100 games. Tonight in the opener, Marco Estrada will go against Kevin Gausman. Estrada continues to be a magician on the mound with that exceptional changeup and, fastball. But he hasn't been rewarded with wins this year, despite his stingy opponent's batting average. 2-0 decisions for Estrada against the Orange Birds this season, and we'll be pitching on extra rest tonight, thanks to good buddy R.A. Dickey, who went on short rest in the matinee a couple days ago. Wasn't real pretty for R.A., but this is what you wanted. You have now lined up your three best starters for three games against the division leader. The division lead, a game and a half for the Orioles, as yesterday things really weren't that good for Baltimore and Minnesota as they played a makeup game.
And the 0-2 is knocked in the air to center field, sending Jones back, still going. Jones over his head. This will score one, may score two. Dozier scores. Kepler racing around third. He is in. Rosario to third. He slides, save with a triple.
I've always loved the Twins. Yeah. Twins are second favorite team. Love the Twins. Thank you, Twins. I have Twins. I'm a father of Twins. How could I not love the Twins? Big win over the Orioles. Thank you, Twins. Jays, meanwhile, 2-3 against the Padres. We did mention that ugly R.A. Dickey start in the afternoon, but 2-3 is not bad. Baltimore has now dropped 3 in a row. So this division lead very much at stake this weekend. Meanwhile, the two GMs should be busy. Ross Atkins, Dan Duquette continuing to try to improve their rosters with the trade deadline coming on Monday. Their needs, somewhat similar. They'd like to collect more pitchers. Pitchers that are good. Pitchers that are better than the pitchers they have. That's kind of the objective before Monday. Both clubs would love an upgrade. I would think with the Jays, you could argue both bullpen and starting rotation, or one or the other. I guess we don't know what's going to happen to Aaron Sanchez. That would determine where the emphasis would be. And for the Orioles, they've already been bridesmaids a couple times, apparently in on Andrew Cashner. He's now off to the Marlins, as well as Colin Ray, two Padres heading to Florida, coast to coast, for two starters. And the other deal they were thought to be in the thick of was for Melvin Upton Jr. Sound familiar, Jays fans? Yeah, apparently they were trying to unload Ubaldo Jimenez's contract in that deal. It did not get done. And Upton, as we know, is a Blue Jay now. They're going to pay $5 million of the remaining $22 million owed to Upton, will the Blue Jays? And on top of that, they only gave up their 20th ranked prospect per Fangraphs at the beginning of the year. In Hansel Rodriguez, I believe. So there you have it. Jays, Orioles tonight. It's the matchup we've been waiting for ages. And if you have not looked at the schedule, things get very interesting very quickly. Jerry Howarth joins us, the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jerry, it's been a lot of action outside division, but all of a sudden between now and October is now looking like a sprint to the finish against a lot of good teams in the wild card race, and back to some divisional opponents.
Well, it's a lot of fun, Ryan. And first of all, welcome in from Calgary. Nice to have you here. And this season is tremendous because remember at this time last year, the Blue Jays were 50-51. Now they're looking at a record now of 57-45. So things have changed dramatically that way. And now it's going to be so much fun because what you're just talking about and having Dan Schulman on earlier, and there's just so much here involving Aaron Sanchez right on through the entire Blue Jays and the August 1st trade deadline. This is a fan's delight, and it was last year too.
Well, why don't we start with Sanchez? Because I heard the Schulman quote in the update at the top of the hour there. He says the longer he stays in the rotation, the more he's convinced they might just keep him there. Do you have a sense of what this management team wants to do with Sanchez, or if they've even made their mind up at all yet?
No, and I don't think anybody does, but I can tell you from the sense of the players involved who are playing behind him, their attitude is let him keep pitching until he shows fatigue or starts to lose his stamina, where then it would necessitate a move out of fatigue and too many innings. But so far, they haven't seen that. And I think the general sentiment would be for his teammates, keep pitching the way you are, and don't worry about a manufactured number or whatever, and then just go, and if you continue to pitch the way you do, we want that too for you, for our team. Now, there's the other side of it, too, and Aaron addressed this very well. He recognizes the Matt Harvey situation. You can overdo things. He said, I want to pitch not only this year, but the next 6 or 7 years, too, here. So there's a lot to be taken care of, and I think by August 1st, Monday, we're going to know which direction they're going to go.
Yeah, if they don't get a starter and it's past the deadline on Monday, you'd have to think they're leaning towards keeping him in there, right? It can't just be a swing and a miss on pitchers. This is the year you've got an unbelievable opportunity to win. The Yankees aren't good. Boston still has some work to do. I think Baltimore is vulnerable. A good team, but there's some holes there. I mean, you have to load up for this year, and if you don't get a starter, that's got to be the tea leaves are telling us he might stay there, right?
Yes, and so first of all, you get the sentiment from the players that I've talked to regarding Aaron, just keep pitching until you show us you can't do it. But then from John Gibbons' standpoint, too, about a week and a half ago, he said, our number one priority is a starter because we just don't have the depth. He mentioned Drew Hutchison, that's all they have. So that's not enough right now. So I think when the manager's talking about the lack of depth in the starting rotation, and your RA's had a tough three starts, I believe by August 1st, Monday, they will land a starter, and then they're in a nice position to do a few things.
Boy, it's an interesting run on the schedule. You've got Baltimore in town tonight and then all weekend before you head off to Houston for a four-game set, then at Kansas City. Those are teams that are right in the thick of the wild card race. Just thoughts on how they've played post-All-Star break. They'd won 8 of 9 going into the Midsummer Classic, 6 and 5 since. How have they looked in your eyes?
Well, I thought that they've looked pretty good, especially when you have the long All-Star break. That's not easy for pitchers to come back then, and now they're pitching with a week and a half between outings, so you have to kind of take that into consideration too. Then they went to Arizona, had an off day, played 2 games, had another off day. So now they're in a situation where, as you mentioned, Houston, Kansas City, then they come back and they've got Houston again after Tampa Bay. Now I think you'll begin to see again the Blue Jays pick up the steam that they had just coming into the All-Star break, where they did have 11 straight and they were all at home and they won 8 of them, as you mentioned. So I think right now, when you go through what they did after the All-Star break, and here they are, they got a favor yesterday, they take it another day off, and they see the two teams around them, one in front, one behind, both lose. That's a great situation. And remember, they're at home where this crowd now, all of a sudden, is leading the American League not only in average but in overall attendance. And these fans here, they love this team. They did last August, September, and October. And that's the carryover that these players definitely feel.
Yeah, it all started. I mean, last year was quite the season, but you look at the last 20 or so home games. I mean, the crowds were enormous and a great start in the spring. Even these early week afternoon NL opponents, they're getting massive crowds, 40-plus thousand for the Padres on, what, a Tuesday? Are you kidding me?
Well, what happens, Ryan, and we saw this back in the late 80s and early 90s, but didn't see it for then 22 years, the carryover from winning and what winning does, especially in a city like Toronto, with not only its population, but with its passion for the team. And by that, I mean this offseason going into spring training, the Blue Jays had already sold 2.1 million tickets. Well, that's how you get to the point where that's the carryover from the year before, and now the rest is right there in a great race here. As I said, the record is so much better already than last year. But that's what winning does, and it happened earlier in my career, and it's happening right here again, too. So it's great to see, but it's also warranted with the team on the field. Started with Alex Anthopoulos, now with Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, and they've added some key pieces, too. And I think there'll be more, as I said, by Monday here. And then everything is in place to make another run at this and defend their title, which I believe they will, and then try to finish that business, which the Royals did last year and the Blue Jays would love to do this year.
Yeah, no, and you mentioned it a year ago, 50 and 51. They're in a better spot now. I don't know that they're going to add Price/Tulowitzki powered sort of acquisitions. They won't. We know they won't. That was a trade deadline for the ages. But do take us back to a year ago when you saw those transactions trickle through, because I don't know that we'd heard Tulowitzki's name pop up at all until it was done. And the Price one was kind of looming, but I know I had wondered, was there enough left after that Rockies deal to go get the ace, and would Anthopoulos be willing to pay? I mean, walk us through the zany couple days, I believe, what, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something around there last year?
Well, it was unbelievable, and of course it started where the Blue Jays needed some defense at shortstop. And nobody dreamed that they would get Troy Tulowitzki to come in there, not only play shortstop, he played 39 games there and did not make an error. But while his bat, too, was silent to a great degree on a daily basis, he had some big hits and none bigger than in the playoffs, too, with three-run home runs. So that was key. And then the David Price acquisition, too, was just off the charts. Dave Dombrowski was leaving Detroit. He ended up stockpiling the Tigers with some great young talent that the Blue Jays had. But David Price came right in. And so oftentimes, Ryan, you see this, and the Blue Jays for the last 22 years have seen other teams at the July 31st trade deadline, now August 1st, add people who, with a change of scenery and going from losing teams to now a team that's a bona fide playoff team and maybe a World Series winner, they just contribute so much more. And David Price goes 9-1. He was great. But this year's team, having been built on what happened last year at the trade deadline, they're already a much better team than last year. They don't need too much. All they really need is, I think, as John Gibbons said, a little more depth in that starting rotation. That helps make the decision on Aaron Sanchez a little easier. But when you have leadership like Donaldson and even Bautista too coming back, that's such a big plus. They went 17-13 without him, but they can't win, to me, this whole thing without him. So there he is at the top of the order. Russ Martin, everywhere he goes, he's a playoff winner. So, and I think Melvin Upton too is a great acquisition. He can do so many things and gives John Gibbons so much more depth now too. This is a great team coming off that division win and 93 wins, and I look for more of the same.
How's Jose look to you? Because there wasn't a lot of at-bats between the beginning of his rehab stint and his first at-bat in Toronto, which was, what, Monday leading off, right?
Well, what I look at Jose is I see a presence in the lineup, and I see walks that generate runs and generate wins. Now, in right field, too, it's not going to be easy for him coming off that injury, but Melvin Upton can play out there in right field. That's a great acquisition from that standpoint. And then you start to look at the platoon possibilities. But regarding Jose himself, when he's in that lineup, he's tough to pitch to because of who he is, his past, what he's done, and the passion he has to win here in Toronto. So I think he's essential, and the Blue Jays role players did a great job without Tulowitzki. They went 14-6 in the 20 games he missed, and then 17-13, as I mentioned, with the 30 games that Bautista missed. That's depth. That's a 25-man roster with support from Buffalo, too, to help you get to this point where now if everybody stays healthy, everything's in place. But I like Jose and what he's done, and there's something to be said for that presence in the lineup and then who's hitting behind him, too. So it's a great situation to be in.
Yeah, and I think on top of you mentioned the leadership that Jose provides, how about the selfless request or suggestion to John Gibbons that, hey, you can hit me lead off if you want. This was months ago when the team was struggling offensively. I don't know that every guy in a contract year would do that, especially when you know GMs are just going to absolutely pour over his power numbers and look at RBIs and things like that. I thought that was a very team-first move from Jose, which I don't know that he gets enough credit for something like that.
No, that's a very good point, too. It is, and he's the one who went to them, as you mentioned. So Jose is very smart. One thing in his foundation, he raises money for kids to educate them. His parents emphasized education for him down in the Dominican Republic when he was growing up. He's smart, but he's also got baseball smarts, too. Now, he's been here for a lot of years and put together individually some nice numbers. What's it led to? Just 1 year going to the playoffs. That was last year. He wants one thing, and so does everybody else, but especially Jose. Get to the World Series and then give your best shot to win it. And so things like that do not surprise me. That's the kind of leadership, too, that Jose is in for, but so is everybody else. Get that ring. Try to make sure that you're in a position to do that, and Jose is going to lead that way, too, on and off the field.
What do you expect they do before the Monday non-waiver trade deadline?
I really think they will get a starting pitcher, and I think they will get a good one, and I think they will get someone that is probably going to cost them something in their farm system, and this is always a tough situation that fans, I don't think, appreciate, whether it's Connor Green or Sean Reed Foley or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's what everybody else wants, and we'll give you this person, but we need these three. Those are tough situations, and the Blue Jays did that three or four times last year at the July 31st trade deadline, but I do think that I think Mark and Ross are looking to it one starter to not only be a bona fide starter and help them in August, September, and October, with everything that's being considered. But I think, too, looking at the game plan with Aaron Sanchez, I'm not sure if Aaron can start and keep going through August, through September, and then win key games in October. So if they get the right starter, whatever it costs, I think it's going to be tough. But if they can do it with this group right here, because this group is not staying together after this season, and I think overall they have a chance if they get that real good starter by Monday to then, okay, here we go, roll the dice, let's go, we're in position to win this.
I would agree 100%. And if you do move Sanchez back to the bullpen, while that's a loss in the rotation, if you get a guy, now you don't need to get any more relievers. I mean, if you've got Sanchez heading to Osuna and guys like, you know, Greeley leading up to that, I think that bullpen looks a whole lot better when you can, say, take 6, 7, 8 outs between Osuna and Sanchez in a big spot.
That's right, you do. And you're looking at Aaron, too, for the next 7 or 8 years, like he said to the media here the other day. So, but one of the smartest people in baseball is Mark Shapiro, and he works so well with Ross Atkins, and they do it together. They did that in Cleveland. Well, they didn't have the resources that this team has. So I think overall, when you look at what they're doing right now, this is going to be an interesting weekend because come Monday, I believe they'll make their best move, and it will be a significant move to help this team this year. And as I said, a lot of people may be in situations where they're not coming back, but this is the year that I think the fans, the Blue Jays, the country, they're looking at a key move, and I believe that those two will make it.
Thoughts on the opposition this weekend? The Orioles and Jays played 7 times in June. It's been 5.5 weeks since the Jays played a divisional opponent of any kind. It was the Orioles. What do you make of this group?
Well, I think overall the Orioles have stumbled here a little bit, but I remember just, a week and a half ago, they'd won 5 in a row, and there they were out in front again. So the key for that team for me is their manager, Buck Showalter, one of the best in the game. He never gives into adversity. He never lets a team slide too far where he's not right there in their face saying, come on, let's pick it up, let's go. Probably the one thing that has hurt them a little bit here was the schedule. They lost that game in April in Minnesota and had to go back yesterday and play it last night instead of having an off day here to regroup. And what did they do? They lost. But Buck Showalter will make sure that that team is competitive. And they've got some pretty good starters, too, even though, you know, right now those starters have flagged a little bit. But when Chris Davis comes to Toronto, he thrives here. This is his place. He loves hitting against the Blue Jays. All he needs is a little spark. But these games are not played on paper, and there are no guarantees. And the winner of this series, and someone's going to win the series, either 2-1 or sweep it, that's going to be a big plus. And even if you win just 2 of 3, you pick up 1 game. If you get 3, that's great. But this is key for Baltimore coming in here. They're tough to beat. And remember, they're a great team at home. And so the Blue Jays still have to go back to Baltimore. And that's not going to be easy in August when they finally make that last trip there into Camden Yards.
Jerry, 35 years? That can't be right. 35 years you've been calling over 7,000 Blue Jays games?
Well, sometimes I have to wonder myself, how did this all happen? But I do enjoy the everydayness of it, Ryan, and I think just blessed with a great wife and family and the routine that goes with it, and I enjoy every game. It's been fun, but it's been a great organization to be with, too, and they've enjoyed me, I've enjoyed them, so it's been a lot of fun.
Well, and you know what? I did play-by-play at the American Hockey League level, which is a far, far smaller pond than what you've done for 35 years. But I could not imagine trying to negotiate that with a family. I did it as a single guy. I mean, to speak to how often you're away from home, that has to be a huge part of your success. I know no one else's name will show up on the broadcast but yours, but that is a family commitment to your job, no question.
Well, it is. This is where, and remember, I had 5 years in the Coast League, too, and Tacoma and Salt Lake, and it's really my wife Mary who does so much and raises those kids, and she's a lawyer too, and retired a number of years ago, so she had her own life, but she put our life first with the baseball and the career, and I really have appreciated that so often over the years and looking back, but that's what makes it a great baseball wife, and then you can go do what you can do best for the audience, and in this case a country, and so I've been blessed, there's no question about it.
Well, less than 60 to go this marathon, the finish line nearly in sight. Jerry, always a pleasure catching up. 35 years, we hope there's 35 more, although is that realistic? 35 is a lot.
Let's just take it one day at a time.
Okay, 1 year at a time we'll do. Thanks, Jerry.
All right, Ryan, thanks for having me.
All right, there's your Blue Jays play-by-play voice, Jerry Haworth. Unbelievable. If you haven't checked out Sportsnet.ca, there's a cool new thing celebrating Jerry's 35 years in the radio booth. Again, over 7,000 games. Are you kidding me? Sportsnet.ca/Jerry. That's with a J, not a G. 35. Jerry 35. You can send a customized voice note to friends and family using Jerry's voice. That's pretty cool. Goins, goins, gone. Something like that, right? And then, of course, you can record your best impersonation of Jerry. I don't know if mine would have made the cut there. Or listen to some of Jerry's famous calls. With 35 years, you know, there's absolutely a few. I certainly enjoyed, what was it, the Alex Dickerson? That ball is long gone, way up the fifth deck one. So there you have it. Also, you can win a chance to meet Jerry in person at a Blue Jays home game and a custom voicemail message recorded by Jerry. Pretty cool. VIP experience with the man. So there you have it. Jays, Orioles, yes, it has been some time. We've been looking forward to this, and it's not just one series and back to opponents that don't evoke emotions. You've got Houston, Kansas City, Houston in the near future. That will be interesting. Want your calls on this matchup this weekend. How are you feeling heading in against the Orioles? They just lost to a bad Minnesota club. They were eyeing an off day. All of a sudden, a rainout in May forces them to go to Minnesota last night, a little road weary. And yet we've seen these bats before at the Rogers Center. They can absolutely wallop the baseball. 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Tonight will be Marco Estrada against Kevin Gausman. Estrada, despite the sparkling opponent's average, one of the best in baseball, is just 5-4. Maybe that is an indication that you should just not pay attention to win-loss records for pitchers. ERA, I'll take. 2.94, that's awfully tidy from the right-hander with the dazzling changeup. Gausman on the other side, 2-7. Ooh, that's not good. 3.77 ERA. First pitch will go just after 7 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, as well as Sportsnet Ontario in 4K. And, of course, on Sportsnet Now, it will be Jerry, who we just heard from, as well as Joe Siddall and Mike Wilner on the radio call, Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler, and Barry Davis on TV. And, of course, following the game, Mike Wilner takes your calls, as always, with the world-famous Blue Jays talk. As for some of the rumors out there, we did mention with Jerry the deadline coming on Monday. Who would the Jays add? Well, one name they were tied to that I found awfully interesting is Boone Logan. Boone Logan. Who's this guy? Well, a reliever who played with the Yankees for some time is having a dazzling year with the Rockies, who are all of a sudden playing some pretty good baseball. Would this be a guy that you're interested in? I think the answer has to be yes, given the numbers that he's posted. I mean, the whip is 0.862. Are you kidding me? His strikeouts per nine innings are over 10. He's walking only 3. I mean, he's not Aroldis Chapman, but this year he's pretty darn close by a lot of measures. So do you have a trade request? If Ross Atkins or Mark Shapiro is listening, is there one name you would love to see them add? Jerry sort of indicated he thinks it's a starter and that Sanchez is going to the bullpen. Dan Schulman earlier this morning thought, you know, the longer he stays in the rotation, the more it's like, well, why move him now? If you're going to keep him in the rotation for 7/8 of the year, why not the whole bloody season? We'll see. 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone, 416-870-0590. What else is coming up this morning? Well, we're going to dive into some more trade rumors. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, he covers, he's the major league columnist at the big chain of papers there at 11 a.m. Also, we will talk to MASN's Orioles reporter as we'll get a little scoop on exactly what the Orioles have looked like of late. It hasn't been really good. I mean, they went 5 in a row out of the All-Star break, and then all of a sudden they dropped 3 in a row. So it's like, oh, they're back. Oh, no, they're not back. Clearly, the O's are a team that needs starting pitching, and so much so that they were definitely in the mix for Andrew Cashner. He will not land in Baltimore. He's off to the Marlins with Colin Ray as the Padres and the Marlins swing a deal this morning. So here's what we'll do. We'll step aside, come back with your calls until 10 o'clock. Trade deadlines on Monday. The Orioles are in town tonight. I want your thoughts again. 888-666-0590. It's Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I hope you're as pumped as I am for tonight and the two afternooners this weekend. Jays and Orioles. 5.5 weeks it's been since the Jays played a divisional opponent. feels like a while because, yeah, 5.5 weeks is a while. That would make some sense. So let's just, okay, so they had San Diego and Arizona, Seattle and Oakland. That's a lot of AL West. There's a bit of NL interleague play. And then they wrapped up those final games in the first half of the season. Cleveland, Kansas City, Detroit into the break. Huh. Before that, Colorado, Chicago, Arizona. I'm reading you city names. That's really bad radio. It's Ryan Pinder in for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We have your game for you tonight, of course, because we have them all. It's kind of what we do around here, right? It is going to be a 7 o'clock start. First pitch shortly after that. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, of course, Blue Jays Central with Jamie Campbell, Greg Zahn will be on the tube at about 6:30. And yes, we will have pre and post as we always do for the Blue Jays broadcast. Can't wait. It'll be Gausman. It'll be Estrada. And the phone lines are open. I asked you, do you have any special requests for the general manager? I know he's clearly in his office, volume at max, notepad in hand with pen. So this is your opportunity to sell them on a player to go get before Monday's non-waiver deadline. The phone number, 888-666-0590, *590, or if you want to do the local thing, 416-870-0590. That would make sense. Why don't we start with Mark in Midtown? Mark, what would you want to add if you were a Shapiro or an Atkins in this management group?
Hey, good morning. I've got two scenarios that are absolutely insanely crazy, and then the one that actually might happen. This one won't happen now that they've gone out and gotten Upton, but I was really kind of holding out hope that they might take a run at Cargo. Carlos Gonzalez, you know, that address is short term. He can move Batista to DH. He could take over in right field. And then he's also good for another year or so. So he takes care of the situation in the event that Batista does leave next year, for at least a year anyway. So that's one that I thought would be a cool one. Another one that I think is absolutely ridiculous and out there that would be more likely to happen in the offseason would be to make a pitch to Cincinnati to bring Joey Votto home and have him play first base, because that would take over a lot of the offense. You know, they'd eat a little bit of the salary, obviously, but they'd have some salary that be off the books with, you know, that would probably spell the end of Batista or Edwin or one or the other. But that'd be quite the infield, wouldn't it, with Tulo and Donaldson and Joey Votto covering first base. That'd be something of something legendary. Something that I heard yesterday that might be a little bit more realistic, and it would probably depend, it would probably involve eating some money and costing a couple of guys, would make a pitch to Kansas City. And this apparently is already out there. Wade Davis for the pen, but they would also insist that that the team that takes Wade Davis would also have to take on Ian Kennedy. So he's a middle of the rotation guy with a contract. But you know, in the event that you know, some of the salary, I don't know whether or not the salary would be deferred. It would probably mean that the Jays would have to eat some money and take on you know, lose a prospect. But you know, that one, that's one that, that I suppose would fit and it might work. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, you're right on the first two. They're complete no-goes. I mean, now that you have Melvin Upton Jr., Cargo doesn't make sense because you don't need another outfielder. What, are you trying to push Saunders or Bautista out of the outfield? It's not happening. I mean, you're already going to have Jose going to play some DH to allow Upton Jr. some time in that outfield. So I'm with you there. Votto's the same thing,
hope.
Right?
That was my hope if they didn't get Upton. That was my hope.
No.
But obviously
and
it's not going to happen now.
And my time machine isn't working right now. I'm missing a few parts. So we can't go back and undo the Upton trade to make that happen. Same thing for Votto, right? Because Edwin's either playing first or you've got, you know, smoke there and Jose's DHing if you've got Upton in the outfield. They're just, there's not a need to upgrade first anymore. I think you have by pushing smoke onto the bench against lefties. So I'm with you. Those two are no-goes. As for Wade Davis, I mean, that's an interesting name. I'm just looking at Ian Kennedy in the season that he's putting together. I think I now understand why you're suggesting that he would need to be included. It hasn't been the greatest year for him. Would that be fair to say? I mean, the walks are a little bit – well, the walks are pretty steady. Strikeouts are still there, but the numbers in terms of ERA and FIP are really ugly. So, or not really ugly, just not good. Like, he would be what? Your fourth best starter if you move Sanchez to the bullpen?
He'd probably be the guy who would, you know, he'd probably be your number four. He might not even be on your playoff rotation. But, you know, if you were to, if you know, he could take some innings, you know, if he was good for a couple fewer wins than Sanchez, you could move, you could still move Sanchez in there. I mean, it'd be a hell of a pen, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Seriously stacked for the playoffs. I mean, it's crazy. But you know what? Worst things could happen.
And there's 4 years left on that deal after this year for Kennedy, which we're talking about. It's a $70 million deal over 5 years. Good thoughts, Mark, and I'm with you. Two are ludicrous, and the other one, well, hey, that's a little more realistic. Davis would be a really nice ad, but I wonder what the price would be for those two Royals to come over. Let's go to Victor and Milton. Thoughts on the deadline on Monday, Vic. What do you think?
Good morning, Ryan. Great to talk with you. You know what? I have confidence in what we have to a point, and that point would be our starting pitching. The two guys there are going to be Happ and Sanchez in terms of a lock. They're pretty solid. But even Estrada, he's a great pitcher, but I'm worried about his back. I'm worried about all the innings he pitched last year, which, you know, it might not happen this year, but it happened this year. He's starting to break down a little bit. Marcus Stroman, he's hot and cold right now. And, of course, Dickey, the lightning rod, just like Burley last year, he might be at the end, and you can't really count on him, and you can't really count on his pitch. So Irvin Santana's name came up. Is he the guy that everybody wanted to pitch in a few years back to bring to Toronto?
I believe so, right? Was that the guy they were all going to chip money in to go get together?
I think that's the guy that went to Atlanta. I think he would be a good fit. Speaking of fit, what we need is twofold. We need a high leverage reliever, and we need a B starter. Now the problem is they're hard to get. So if you can pay money to get them, that's what you do. You know, so that would be my thoughts as far as that is concerned. You know, so you know I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think it's not a do or die weekend by any stretch. But I do believe we have what it takes. And lastly, this is something that I wonder about. You hear about Olympic athletes will do anything to win that gold medal. Right now, it's been 20-odd years, and this is the best team, the best chance we'll ever have going forward to win the World Series. I believe it's this year. Now, I would leave it up to Sanchez to decide his fate. Now, he's young, and I'm not saying to sacrifice him, but I'm not a kinesiologist, but if he's not feeling any pain, any discomfort, you leave him in there. And you have to say to him, or you say to the fans, we're going for it. If I were a pitcher, and I'm not, and I have an opportunity to be in a World Series, you know what? I might take that chance and say, listen, I might have to have elbow surgery a year down the road or 2 years down the road. But again, back to kinesiology. Who knows, even if he goes to the bullpen, he could still have arm trouble. It's a routine. When you get out of routine, that's when you have problems. So I say stay in your routine, and whatever happens, happens. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, Vic. Good call, man. I'm not really – so just a lot of stuff there, so let me sift through it quickly. The starting rotation, I'm a lot more comfortable with Estrada than you are. I thought his last start, his first since coming off the DL, was great. Just two earned runs against Seattle through, what, six innings? I got it right here in front of me. I may as well – give you the entire data. Yeah, Estrada's last start, two runs, six hits over seven innings against Seattle. That's a hard luck not to get a win situation, right? That's what that is. So I'm really comfy with Estrada in the postseason rotation. The other things you touch, I mean, I do think you sort of keyhole the right kind of guy to bring in, someone to come in and be your number four starter. I'm with you on that one. And the Sanchez thing is crazy, man. Like, we don't know. We really don't know. Like, look at all the babying that Matt Harvey's agent had the Mets do for him. Has that really worked this year? No, didn't do a thing. And then there's other guys with the massive workload increase that are fine. And when you have many great minds on baseball disagreeing and totally on the opposite page of each other, I think it's safe to say there's zero consensus here, and we don't really know that there are specific thresholds that when you cross, for certain, things will happen. It's not that cut and dry. It's not. So here's an example. Keith Law says this is all bogus. There's not enough hard science to back it up. And, you know, Mike Wilner, who I really respect and enjoy his insights, says, you know, you are absolutely increasing the risk. We heard Dan Schulman suggest that he thinks they're leaning more and more towards keeping him in the rotation. Then we have Jerry Howarth on. He says, I think he's going back to the pen. Have you ever heard an issue that's so 50-50? I mean, we can't get anything close to consensus here. So it will be neat to see what happens with Sanchez. We'll learn a bit about where the Jays believe on this, the arm science, so to speak. Won't know probably till at least Monday we'll have some tea leaves to read. Let's go to Bill in Montreal. Bill, what are your thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, man.
If I was asked Atkins, I would try to do the following deals. Number one, these names have never been brought up. They involve free agents on both sides. I would trade Batista to Houston if if Houston would give him up to Evan Gattis, who's a power hitting catcher outfielder, both free agents, and Gattis costs nothing. I think he makes $3.5 million a year. He's got about 16 home runs this year. And I would trade Dickey back to the Mets with Toley to get Bartolo Colon. Now, I'm not saying they'd be available, but I'll tell you one thing. If they could make those two deals, that would solve the problem. And keep Sanchez in the rotation, because look at the disabled list right now in the major leagues. Double the amount of pitchers on the disabled list are relievers. Just look at the Jays. Cecil, Floyd, Morales, they were all relievers. And as far as the starting pitchers are concerned, it's only Estrada, and it's not his arm, it's his back.
That's a good point.
I mean, putting him out there in the bullpen, he has a routine right now. He pitches every 5 days. He knows how to get himself in shape. But when you go out in the bullpen, I know, I used to pitch in the Braves system back in the minors when there was no pitch counts in the 60s. And you know what? You go out there, you got to hurry up to get into the game because sometimes the starting pitcher all of a sudden loses it. And I'm more concerned about, and they got to stop treating him as a yo-yo. Starter, reliever, starter. And the other thing is take that cloud off everybody's head. Make your decision now. If you don't want him to pitch innings, stop him right now and tell him to go home. That's what I think. That's my
Thanks,
problem.
Bill. Appreciate it. Let's start with the Gattis trade. I don't know why you think your roster's improved if you've added Gattis and lost Batista. Sorry. You know, I think people are pining for a catcher that can play behind Martin, who's really good. You don't go and trade an all-star caliber bat for a backup catcher, a good catcher, but one that isn't as good as Russell Martin, in my opinion. He's hitting .221 this year. His on base is under .300. I mean, this is a tire fire year for Evan Gattis. You don't want him straight up for Bautista. Remember one thing here. You're trying to win a World Series here this year. Any trade that sends Jose Bautista away, probably going to hurt your chances of winning a World Series. It does not make any sense to me to move the caliber of player that Bautista has been over the last, half decade, nearly a full decade. You're not going to get the better player back. Your roster is going to be worse off. And why the Mets would want Dickey, I have no idea. I just don't. I'm sorry. He's 4 years older than when he left. He is a guy that we're talking about as Jays followers not putting on a playoff roster in our hypothetical future land. Why would they want a guy they can't even start in the playoffs? Doesn't make sense to me. Sorry. Colon, is that really what the Jays are missing? Is it a Bartolo Colon that's going to get them over the hump? Creative ideas, yes, absolutely. But no, I'm not liking either of those. As for Sanchez, you nailed it. Like, pitchers didn't used to have the issues they do now. We don't know how or why. And they're babied more than ever, and they're getting injured more than ever. I cannot figure it out. Let's go to John in Kitchener. John, what are your thoughts heading into the deadline here?
Yes, morning. My suggestion is that leave Sanchez where he is and take Dickey, put him down in the bullpen. He's good for an inning and a half, and then get another starter, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be an ace.
Is Dickey improving your bullpen? Is there a need for...
He's not improving your starting. I mean...
Well, he's giving you 200 innings a year.
Out there, how long has he gone? I mean, every time I listen to your station, everybody's saying the same thing. He's going down. He's not going up.
Well, he's over 40, so yes, his best years are behind him, if that's what you're suggesting. But he's not a bullpen guy. He's a starter.
This young Sanchez, he could get hurt down in the bullpen just as quick as he could as a starter. So, I mean, let the kid play. I mean, he's got his head in being a starter right now, and he's doing as good as anybody. So leave him there. Dickey, every time Dickey goes out, it's almost like a loss. If I had a team coming to Toronto, I'd want to play Dickey every game.
Well, you're clearly skewing your perspective on him as the last three. He's had three rough outings. As Mike Wilner pointed out, I believe
he's
14.
He's going to get stronger going into the playoffs?
Well, what has his last 3 years in Toronto been? Has the second half or the first half been better for him?
Well,
it's not even close.
What they keep saying about him is that they get innings out of him.
They
well,
do.
Innings is one thing, but wins is another thing. And so far, being a knuckleballer, we all know the story. I mean, they're only as good as they are when they're on the mound, and you don't know what you're going to get from day to day.
You don't know necessarily. I'll give you that. You don't know what you're getting on a day to day, but you cannot overlook what he's provided this club. 14 starts this year have been 3 earned runs or fewer. With this offense, you don't think that's a valuable part of a rotation? You're just going to relegate him to some mop up long man duty? I don't get it. I really don't. Let's go to Joe in Mississauga. Thoughts on the Sanchez arm situation?
Well, for me, I remember back when Strasburg was a rookie with Washington. I mean, I'm a Jay fan through and through, but I heard that he was going to be taken out of the rotation. I think he was their ace at the time. He was just phenomenal. And I thought, how can they take him out of the rotation? Like, I just thinking back then. And I think the season panned out. I think they ended up in the wild card where they had a comfortable lead in first place. And in the end, I think it ruined Washington. I think the team without Strasburg went down the tubes. And I think right now Sanchez is our ace. And he's in charge of, I think him and his handlers, they're thinking they're going to damage their, you know, their arm. Then, yeah, you take them out. But I can't see Gibby or Atkins taking it out of Sanchez's hand and taking them out. I think it'll destroy. I think it'll destroy the team. That's their ace.
Well, he's certainly one of three guys that you could argue is their ace. I think Estrada's right there. Hap's been phenomenal. But you're right. Like, that's probably the guy. If you gathered 10 experts in a room and said, who would you start in the first playoff game in a perfect world, it would be Sanchez more than any other guy. The Strasburg comparison's an interesting one because they did, quote-unquote, baby him. Or they were very concerned with the workload on the arm as a young guy. That's similar to where Sanchez is now. Now, they ended up not winning that year. In fact, they haven't got through a divisional series since, and I wonder if they could rewind and play that again if they wouldn't inherit a little more risk and keep Sanchez in there for the chance to hang a banner, because he still got injured anyway, and they don't have a flag flying in the outfield that says World Series champs 2012 or whatever the year was. So I think it is an interesting, it's a cautionary tale on both sides, because they were trying to protect him, he still got hurt, and their best chance to win a World Series got hurt pretty dramatically when they shut him down. So I think it's a really good comparison with Strasburg. Thanks for the call, Joe. Rick in Sudbury, what's your thought on the right arm of Aaron Sanchez?
Well, I think that, you know, you're talking about moves at the deadline. The move they need to make is keep Sanchez in the starting rotation. He's a 25-year-old man. We've got muscle and bone. And, like, I love the point the kinesiology points the guy was making. Like, if he decides that he's healthy, like, he knows his body more than anybody does, and if he wants to play, so ask him. Like, you were exactly what you said about the 50-50. It's so 50-50. Like, who knows what the right decision is? The guy who knows is Aaron Sanchez. If he feels comfortable, if his body's healthy, if he's strong, he's one of our three aces. You're right. You take him out of the bullpen or out of the starting rotation, our team has a less good of a chance to win the World Series.
Agreed.
So let the guy pitch. If he's okay to pitch, if he feels okay to pitch, let him pitch, in my opinion.
Well, the problem is that it's like, you know, do you let starting pitchers tell you when they're coming out of the game, or do you have to take the ball from them? You literally have managers walking to the mound, taking the ball away, because these guys, they believe so strongly in themselves. I mean, if you ask Aaron Sanchez, you know, what are you going to do here, Aaron? Do you want to stay in the rotation or go to the pen? There's no way he's saying go to the pen. Are you kidding me? He's an athlete that competes. He's not a scientist. He's not a doctor. He might feel fine right now, and yet the workload he has amassed till now could lead to injury. He doesn't know that. Are you kidding me? Guys who want to play through injuries all the time. Look at a guy like Donaldson, who wants to play every day even though he's dinged up. I mean, you cannot leave it in the hands of an athlete. It's like the Olympic athlete poll that someone alluded to earlier in the hour on a phone call. If we offered you a pill and you could win a gold medal, but you knew you'd die in the next 10 years, would you take it? Overwhelmingly, they say, yes, I would do it. Sacrifice to win is what these guys have been bred to do. It's what they believe. It's what their engine runs on. I will overcome all and win. And they have. They've all overcome the odds to get to the majors. So I just don't think you can leave it in the athlete's hands. He's going to say, I'm staying in the rotation, when it might not be the right thing to do. Although I guess we don't even know what the right thing to do is. We'll come back next hour, lead off we're going to stay on the baseball tip for the bulk of the morning. We get a good look at the Orioles when we come back. Someone who is with the O's day-to-day, which would have meant in Minnesota last night, tonight in Toronto. It's going to be a good one tonight. It is Gausman Estrada, 7:07 first pitch right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.